This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors, white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah! No artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to Amazon.com/Sensible Portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's Amazon.com/Sensible Portions. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here with our Survivor exit interview for week number 3 of Survivor 41. We're going to be talking with the latest player voted at the Ua tribe, and that is going to be Brad Reese. And of course, Brad had such a great run here on the show. I know he's out here in only the third episode, but he gave us so many memorable moments in this season between running and hiding in the bush and saying that he was going to vote out Sarah or Shan to them. And of course, everything with making the fake Brad so he could go to the island. So many great moments from Brad in this season. So really looking forward to chatting with him, the broccoli stuff. So a very fun person to watch on the show. And so looking forward to chatting with him here today. Getting ready for a busy Thursday here on the podcast. Going to talk with my great friend, Teresa T-Bird Cooper. Looking forward to catching up with her and seeing what she thinks about the season. Of course, you can send us Survivor questions anytime you want. robhasawebsite.com/Survivor Questions. So send us questions there. You could also send us questions anytime on our feedback line. That's robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. You could record them right on your phone, and then we can play your messages as well on the podcast. I'm going to be doing a podcast also with Gandia Johnson this Friday night, and looking forward to catching up with her. She asked me in our chats, can she curse on the podcast? I told her that she could. I don't want to hold anybody back from what they want to say, even if I'm not cursing a lot on the podcast. So it should be very fun to catch up with Gandia this Friday night. And then I will also have over the weekend Peridium, the great YouTuber, has a million epic YouTube videos about Survivor, Big Brother, reality TV. We're going to get into some strategy, I'm sure, with Peridium over the weekend. Of course, get your questions in for that one. We drop those feedback shows as soon as we record them for the patrons. And then for everybody else, you can hear that one on Sunday night in our podcast feed. And then also for the patrons, Monday night, I'll be talking with David Bloomberg on our Survivor 41 Q&A. Of course, you can be a part of that every week when you become a patron of Rob's Podcast at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Become a part of our worldwide community of Survivor fans talking about all these crazy shows that we love. I want to just mention a little bit about, I've been on Twitter this morning. It's one of the things about doing the show on the East Coast now that is different than when I was on the West Coast. Like, I used to do these exit interviews about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30. So I had a little bit less of a time to digest what was going on social media. And I was going through social media, and I saw a lot of people talking about how, oh, so many advantages, so much stuff, and so much stuff that we don't care about, so many advantages. And sure, definitely. There's a lot going on here in this season, and it is pretty confusing. But I have to say overall, and I said it last night, that I just thought this was a really fun episode of the show, and I really did enjoy it. So I just wanted to say that for me, I would much rather see, you know, this kind of confusing thing going on with everybody going on the boat and having something going on. And even if it's not ideally the best thing, this beat a reward challenge for me. And so I know things might be getting a little haywire out there with all, you know, keeping track of all these extra votes and who's losing their votes and everything. And I definitely understand the argument of like, hey, that's not my Survivor. But I do have to say that if I'm getting 42 minutes of Survivor, like I really do prefer seeing what we saw last night as opposed to just seeing a reward challenge where it's like, okay, well, at least the reward challenge isn't screwing up the game. I understand the argument, but at least in terms of like my overall enjoyment, like I feel like that it's more interesting to see what's going on with Brad and Tiffany and Sydney, even if it's confusing, as opposed to like another relay race in the show when we're going to see another relay race, you know, in 15 minutes. So I am really enjoying having only one challenge in the episode. I know I'm not the biggest challenge fan of the show, but as far as I'm concerned, do whatever you want. If you're gonna have just take away the reward challenge and give us the within reason give us one challenge and we'll take it from there. All right, we're going to get to Brad in just a second. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. Now last night we saw Brad pull off this epic prank of faking everybody out with building a fake Brad on the beach. But imagine how much more comfortable Brad could have looked if he would have had some comfy sheets and comforters and bedding and loungewear from Brooklinen, the best there is, because Brooklinen, they were started to create beautiful, high-quality home essentials that don't cost an arm and a leg. And the fake Brad had, two arms and two legs there on fake Brad. What a success Brooklinen has been. They work directly with the manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups, so you get an amazing array of products at a reasonable price. Brooklinen's got something for every comfort need, including for a seasonal refresh. Fall's here. They're launching new products, colors, and patterns all the time, and we're talking about buttery, soft, and breathable sheets, plush and absorbent towels, cozy robes, comfy loungewear, and you'll want to put them on and never take them off. They're so confident in their core products. They've got a 365-day warranty. That's like, 900 Survivor seasons. And their fans are confident, too. They've received over 75,000 five-stars reviews and counting in their customer service. Clearly, they get 8 hours every night because it's a dream to work with them. If you ever have an issue, I love my Brooklinen sheets. I want to make sure that we are never without them. We need multiple pairs to make sure that we never go a night without our Brooklinen sheets. Give yourself a comfort refresh that you deserve and get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code ROB to get $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's Brooklinen.com. Enter promo code ROB for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. And this month, Brooklinen is excited to introduce Marlo, the affordable and adjustable pillow that provides a perfect night's rest for every type of sleeper. Visit MarloPillow.com to learn more. Brooklinen, as I always like to say, no sleep till Brooklinen. All right, I see that we have a Brad here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Brad.
Hi, Rob.
King, how are you?
Oh, man, Rob, it feels like I've been through a hurricane, man.
Yeah. Brad, I am so sad to see you go from the show because I just thought that you were so much fun. And I have to apologize to you because we judged you so incorrectly in the preseason. We saw you and said, this guy is going to be boring, that he's just going to, go with the flow. And he's, maybe not going to add so much to the show. And we were so, especially me in particular, I was so wrong about you, Brad.
Rob, I appreciate you saying that because I was kind of mad at you, honestly. I'm like, Rob, you don't even know me and you're saying stuff about me that is so wrong. But I forgive you, Rob. Absolutely. No, I can see how you thought that.
Yes. And Brad, if it's any consolation, I'm wrong all the time. It's a miracle if I'm ever right. So don't take it personally, please.
I am not. No, absolutely right. And all you had to go on was a bio. And I admit that bio, Rob, that bio, I had only watched 2 seasons of Survivor when I filled out that bio. And I just have to tell you that I do not play like Boston Rob. That, you know what I mean? I had not even watched Boston Rob play when I filled that thing out. So, no, not at all your fault.
All right, Brad, you were so much fun to watch, and you were such a fun character on the show. Was that just something that just like came up organically, or was that your plan all along to be so out of control and unpredictable?
So the way I live my life, Rob, is it's easier to go from failure to success than excuses to success. I wanted to play this game like I live life and hit it wide open, because if I play a watered down version of me and I play conservative and I be safe, you can still get voted off in this game. And then how would I feel? I wanted to represent, this is who Brad is. Brad's not for sale. Brad's charging forward. He's going to learn from his mistakes. Absolutely going to make them, no question. But I'm going to learn and move forward. And that was my whole thought process.
At the tribal council that we saw last night, after the votes were counted, you stood up. You seemed very surprised and shocked. This was a total blindside for you?
It was not a total blindside. It was a total disappointment. But it was not a total blindside. I saw JD. The plan was JD. I had no power, so I was not aggressive in my strategizing. I laid it out to Shan. I said, Shan, this is your decision, basically. And I showed her all my toys, all my idols, yeah, all my tools, and I laid it all on the line for her, because I had nothing else, Rob. I didn't have my steal a vote. I didn't have my shot in the dark. I had nothing. And so I knew I had to rely on Shan. But JD was not feeling the pain. He was feeling pretty good. And I'm like, he's too good of a read of people. If it would have stayed on JD, he'd have known it and he'd have been struggling. He was not struggling. And that's when I took the cue, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
You had that steal a vote advantage, but you also lost your vote. I was surprised that you couldn't use the steal a vote to steal somebody. You lost your vote, but that was the rules. You weren't allowed to steal somebody else's vote.
That was the rules. It was the same with Xander. He was not allowed to use his extra vote. When you lose your voting privileges, you lost it all. And yeah, it was made very clear to us that we had nothing. We were stripped clean. And so the only thing I could have done, Rob, was give it to Jeannie. I could have gave Jeannie that steal a vote and said, Jeannie, use his steal a vote. But we did the math, right? And it's like, okay, Jeannie uses her steal a vote. She steals JD's vote. We still come up 2-2. And then in a re-vote, JD and I are out. And the two vote against Jeannie, it's 2-1. So it's like, oh, we don't have that. Let's not blow up tribal council. Let's just kind of relax here and trust the alliance, because that's the only choice I had.
Not to get too in the weeds, is that confirmed that then Jeannie doesn't get a second vote on the tie break with the steal a vote?
Great question. I did not get that far in the weeds either.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if you had the rule book in front of you. Yeah. Brad, so I'd love to hear a little bit more about your relationships with some of the members of the tribe, because we saw you talk about Shan as your number one, but there was that moment in last week's episode when you went to go see what Ricard and JD were doing by the well, and Shan ratted you out. Did you have any suspicions that Shan might have other people that she was closer with?
Yes, I had suspicions, but Shan was so good at knowing the emotional needs of each player. She could talk to each of us on our exact level. And she talked to me on a very emotional, spiritual, you know, type of level that I was all in on Shan. And so I didn't get to hear the music in her head, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't get that part. And so I just saw the Shan that was just vulnerable, yet just smart. And it's like, wow, I need Shan. I knew me and Jeannie were locked and loaded. We were number ones, no question. We knew we were tight. But we knew if we could get Shan, because she was very, very good with people and where things were at, which is a little bit more of my weakness. I think she could have filled a hole that I had in my game.
So I want to go back to that first vote that your tribe went to where Sarah got voted out. Jeannie cast that vote for Ricard, and it came up again in the episode last night. Could you tell us a little bit more about where that vote for Ricard came from Jeannie's perspective?
I can tell you exactly. So we were at tribal. Everything was going according to plan. It was us four, Shan, me, Jeannie, JD. Us four were doing great. Ricard and I rubbed each other wrong from the get-go, man. From the beginning, I wanted Ricard out, but I didn't think I had enough power, so we kind of dropped it on Sarah. And so when Sarah blew that tribal up, Rob, and I mean she blew it up, that was for real. I got worried. Jeannie spun around and looked at me. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "Jeannie, they're turning it on me." And I looked at JD and Jeannie, and I said, "Let's drop the hammer on Ricard." And that's verbatim what I said. "Let's get Ricard right now." And Jeannie looked at me, and she said, "Ricard?" I said, "Yeah, Ricard." And I looked at JD, and JD looked through me. He had these glass eyes. He looked through me. He jumped up, and he ran straight to Shannon. And I'm like, I wrote him off from that very minute. I'm like, "Okay, buddy, you're dead to me." But Jeannie was still, she kind of had Ricard in her head. And so that's when she wrote down Ricard, because that was my little plan at Tribal. But then I jumped up and I ran over to Shan and JD, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And Shan's like, "Oh, I'm just trying to make her not roll the dice. I'm just trying to keep things even." And I'm like, "Okay, so I'm good." And she's like, "Yeah, you're good." But I was worried. I was so worried because she was playing it both ways.
Can I ask you something else from that first episode when you were asked about who were you thinking about? And you said that for you, the names that were on the table were Shan and Sarah in front of both of them. But at the same time, we also have learned that you were close allies with Shan. Was that something that was she in on that?
A great question, right? So I made some mistakes. What you didn't see is I spent 4 hours. Yeah, right. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Huh? So I spent 4 hours dodging that question. "Brad, who are you going for? What do you think tonight?" "Oh, I don't know. Whatever the tribe thinks." And when I walked around that corner, I wanted Ricard. And I walked around the corner, and there was Ricard. And I'm like, "Oh, no." And you saw that deer in the headlight. Look, that was exactly how I felt. And so when I got caught right there, I'm like, "Okay, what do I do? What do I do?" Well, I knew I had Shan, and Shan knew I'm not a hard person to read, Rob. She knew that she had me. And so when I said, "Well, you know, Sarah and Shan did the worst of the challenge, so that's kind of where I'm at, and that's the truth." And I don't think Shan felt threatened. Yeah, she had a touch or a confessional saying, "Yeah, boy, Brad," you know what I mean? But deep down, she knew I was on her side completely.
Did you get the sense that Ricard had known about you spying on him and JD at the well? Was there any sort of a conversation about that after that happened?
So that was a fascinating little turn. To set that up, I was trying to pull Ricard over because Ricard and I were not good. JD flat ignored me at Tribal. So now I am 100% against JD. And so I was trying to get Ricard. And so I was telling Ricard about JD having the advantage from the track. He had to have something. And so I kind of shared some with Ricard. Well, when I saw him and JD head to the well, I'm like, "That stinker's going to spill everything." And so it was spontaneous. It was just, I wasn't even thinking. I just jumped up and blew as fast as I could to the well. I took the long way around. I knew I could beat him there, hunkered in. And they literally, Rob, they got there. They started talking about, "Yeah, no, he told me about he thinks you have an idol." And Ricard was just spilling everything I just told him. And I'm like, "Okay, I am not swaying Ricard at all. He is still 100% against me." So I knew exactly where he stood. I got back to camp in time. What I didn't know was that Shan was actually in thick with Ricard. That was where I made the mistake. I underestimated Shan and Ricard's alliance power right there.
But did Ricard ever say anything to you about that?
Never did. Nope, he never did. So Shan went and talked to him, told him everything. He never came back and said, "Oh, so you were spying on me." He just let it go, didn't ruffle the feathers. Nope, okay. Never did.
So in the episode, we saw you go off because of the Beware Advantage on the boat at nighttime, and we had the hilarious moment where you made the Ferris Bueller dummy to replace you. When you got back to camp, did anybody notice you were gone?
Oh, that was awesome, Rob. And I tell you, that dummy looked a lot better in the dark. With the nightlight on it from the camera, like, "Oh, that didn't quite look as good as I thought in my mind." But it totally, what it did is it gave me ease. When I went to the island with Sydney and Tiffany, they were nervous. They're like, "Man, we got to button this up and get back because our camp, I don't know what's going to happen if I get caught here." They were nervous. I wasn't nervous. I'm like, "Dude, I think I'll be fine. I don't think they'll know at all." And I got back to camp, and we had a little fire on the beach, and that fire had been stoked while I was gone. It was up and burning. I'm like, "Oh, no, somebody got up in the middle of the night and stoked that fire." But everybody was back to sleep. I crawled right into my bed. I'm like, "Oh, no, I pulled this off perfectly."
When you went to the island and were there with Sydney and Tiffany, I know we only saw a snippet of it on the show. How did you feel like those conversations went? Were they tense, or did you feel like that you had bonded there?
I felt like we had bonded. I felt, you know, meeting the other tribe for the first time, you kind of don't know, but those girls were completely, they talked about each one's position in their tribe. And I told them, I said, I'm a little bit worried about my position. I said, it's a 3-2 and that third can go either way. And they said, man, Brad, you might need this advantage. They felt pretty comfortable. They indicated that, no, we think we're in a good spot. And so I'm like, right on. Can I, you know, and I offered it to them. And I said, hey, if you give me this, what do you guys kind of expect in return? And Tiffany's like, well, just watch out for us in the future. Just remember us. That's all we ask. And I'm like, hey, that's fair enough. And it really felt like moving forward, man, there could have been some strength there.
So I want to ask you about your other beware advantage about the shared three-way idol. Actually, real quick, could you tell us that, was it your understanding, were you going to be in possession of your own idol, or was it a third of an idol that you would have shared with the people from the other tribes?
Oh, no, the idol actually came with it. So you had the little trinket, the beads and stuff. So you had your idol.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I found that, I knew I was kind of in trouble. And I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, I found this advantage. I found this idol. But who would have known, you know, never in the last decade have they saw, you know, all of a sudden take all your powers for finding this idol. And so it was this bittersweet high and low. It's like, uh-oh, I might not have should have picked this thing up.
How much did you plan out how you were going to interject the broccoli line into Jeff's Matt chat?
Oh, Rob, I practiced that line 100 times. I had it down, man. I didn't realize it till now. Broccoli's just a bunch of small trees. Okay, what I was putting all my mind to was how to say that without everybody, because I immediately recognized the dead relatives that Xander said. I'm like, oh, that's what he was doing. Okay, I got to camouflage mine because he pulled it off. I had no idea he was actually doing an idol thing. And so I said, I got to pull mine off. So, okay, I'm getting skinny. I can talk about twigs. I can talk about my bushy hair. Okay, I can do this. Well, I spent so much effort and thought into how I was setting it up that when I actually got time to say the broccoli line, it was gone, Rob. I mean, G-O-N-E gone. It was like, what do you do then? You stumble through it, and Jeff held his face. I thought he might crack up, but he held it together, and I just, time to shut up.
Brad, can you ever look at broccoli the same way again?
I'll never look at it again, Rob. Every time I see it, my family still teases me about, anybody want some broccoli? I'm like, no!
All right, Brad, I know you got to run. Anyway, I just can't tell you enough how fun you were to watch on the show. And I hope we get to hear and see more from you in the future, because you brought a lot to the show this season. So thank you for that.
You got it, Robin. Thank you. I want to tell you, man, how fun it is to listen to you when you're talking about the future Survivor players, and you know you're going on the game and you're listening to you talk about future. You have our attention 100%, and you do a great job with it. It's been a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you so much, Brad. All the best to you, okay?
Thank you.
Keep in touch, okay?
Look me up.
All right, take care. Bye.
You got it. Absolutely. Thank you. Yep, bye.
Everybody, there you have it. That was Brad Reese here on the podcast, and really, what a character. I think Mike Bloom had said on Twitter that one of the best pre-merge characters that we've had in recent years, up there with the aforementioned this week, Reem and Natalie Cole. And yeah, I definitely would put Brad in that category. So I hope we get to hear more from him again, at least on the podcast, if not maybe one day seeing him get a second chance at Survivor. This week's Survivor exit interview was sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling your policy with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right. So I am going to be switching gears to get over and talk to T-Bird. Also, we're going to have some more Big Brother post-game interviews that our friends over at CBS have helped facilitate here this week. So we're going to be recording another one of those. So keep an eye out on the podcast feed. Of course, robiswebsite.com/subscribe. For that, we spoke with Hannah Chadha on Wednesday, and have a couple more planned for this week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But as far as Survivor goes, T-Bird will be my guest later on today. So I will be getting into that. Looking forward to hearing your questions for her. Then, Looking forward to talking with Gandia Friday night, Peridium on the feedback show over the weekend. Of course, we dropped that early for the patrons. And then I'll be speaking with David Bloomberg on the Survivor 41 Q&A. And for Bachelor fans, of course, longstanding wrap up, the Bachelorette wrap up with Amy and Haley Strong, going strong in its seventh year, is in our podcast feed over at rapazawebsite.com. Amy and Haley are talking about the Bachelor in Paradise finale this week. So go ahead and check out what they had to say about this season of The Bachelor in Paradise. If you were under a rock and didn't know, we covered The Bachelor on the Rehap Ups. Be sure to check that out over on robhasawebsite.com. All right. Thank you so much for joining us here today for the exit interview. We'll be back talking with T-Bird later on tonight. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.